It's Wednesday night. It is Sound Off Extra, and I am the Solemn Monster here with your AEW Dynamite review for April 8, 2020, from Parts Unknown, USA. You know, just when you think Chris Jericho can do it all. You know, he can do the wrestling thing, he's got his music gig, can do comedy, he's got a cruise. Tonight we got to hear Chris Jericho do commentary. And I think it's safe to say that if he wants it, he's got a good gig set up for himself whenever he's done with the wrestling thing. We got the announced tandem of Tony Schiavone and Chris Jericho tonight, which was one of the highlights of what I thought overall. I'd say it was a good show. This was not a great episode of Dynamite. I would not call it great. There have been some great ones. This was not one of the great episodes of Dynamite. But it had its moments. We'll get into all that here in a little bit as people filter on into the chat. Hope everybody's having a great Wednesday night here. I am on my WrestleMania hangover. Shout out to everybody in the chat filtering on in. Had 4 streams in 4 days last week, going back to last week's Dynamite. Big weekend with all the WrestleMania stuff. You guys killed it, so I want to thank everybody who joined me for that. Good to be back here with you. Don't forget, the poll is open right now. You guys can vote on Twitter at Solemonster. I've got dueling polls. I will check the results later on. AEW versus NXT. What did you guys think of both shows? And go vote right now at Solemonster. Hit that thumbs up button here on this video. And Super Chats, as you are already seeing, are open. So if you want to get your messages in, your questions, all that good stuff, want to contribute to the show, you have the chance to do so via Super Chat. You'll see that popping up all throughout the stream here. So a little bit of news here before we get into the Dynamite show tonight. Of course, everything is building to the Double or Nothing pay-per-view, which is still set for May 23rd in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand Garden Arena. Of course, with everything going on, everything is shut down. The site Las Vegas Locally is reporting that all MGM resort shows and attractions have been canceled through May 31st, as of today. That is per one of their sources. So I don't think any of this is necessarily official yet, but that is the belief that basically everything in Vegas is going to be shut down through May 31st at the very least. Now, if that turns out to be true, that means that AEW Double or Nothing, which was already iffy at best, as far as it going on in Vegas as planned, would officially be off. Unless the company just chooses to do it from some other undisclosed location. Which would be my guess as far as what ends up happening. They're going to have to do the show at some point. So they may just choose to do it in Georgia, where they've done the tapings for the next few weeks. Maybe by then they can get back to Jacksonville. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But that is a bad omen. That does not bode well for Double or Nothing being in Vegas, which, again, I didn't think it would be. But I guess we'll just have to wait for the official announcement to find out what the fate of that event is going to be. Mr. Krabs, thank you for the super chat. Says Chris Jericho is the next Bobby Heenan. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's not get ahead of ourselves just yet. Bobby Heenan's in a class all unto himself. But Jericho was damn good tonight. And Spanish Goddish, thank you for the super chat. Mr. Krabs again. With dropping some goodness here during the stream. Appreciate the hell out of it. And Prince Walker, thank you for the super chat. Jericho hurt my feelings, he says, when Shida came out and he said that Kanagawa Japan was crap. That is where I live. Wow. Insulting the home of one of our listeners. Kanagawa Japan. Well, I've not been to Kanagawa Japan. I would love to go to Japan one day. It's kind of on my bucket list of things to do. Maybe go to a Tokyo Dome show, hit up Ribera Steakhouse. You'll have to show me around when I make my way over there one day. So the show opened with a pre-recorded Jake the Snake Roberts promo about Lance Archer. He was talking up Lance Archer. He talked about him destroying Marco Stunt last week, called Marco Stunt an idiot. Told Cody basically not to take Sean Spears for granted tonight in his TNT title tournament match, because he is obviously hoping that Archer is going to get Cody in the finals. And I would say there's a pretty good chance of that happening. I mean, I thought maybe it would be Darby against Lance Archer, kind of the underdog against the big guy. But when I made that comment, when I made that prediction, I completely forgot that Cody is in this tournament. So Cody and Archer would seem like a shoe-in for the finals. One more bit on Jake. You know, he did an interview with Wrestling Inc. And right now, Jake is quarantined in a hotel room in Atlanta for at least a few weeks. This is after his last live appearance on Dynamite. So ever since then, he has been quarantined all by himself in a hotel room in Atlanta. Said that he was living with DDP, and Dallas told him when all of this stuff began. He said, "Look, I'm locking it down. If you leave, you cannot come back." And AEW had called Jake and asked for his help. Come on in, we need you for TV. So he went. Said, AEW needs me. I gotta go. So he went and he did the taping. But then he couldn't go back to DDP's house. Apparently DDP, I don't know who's staying with him, maybe his daughter or somebody, but Jake said there was a baby in the house and they just couldn't risk anybody, really anybody getting sick, but especially a baby getting sick. So, you know, in his mind, he felt he had to do what he had to do to help AEW, and he says now he's paying the price for it. He's not allowed, he can't go back to DDP's house, and he's all by himself in a hotel somewhere, all alone. And I read that and I thought to myself, I said, you know, Jake trapped all alone by himself in a hotel room somewhere just sounds like a bad situation for him to be in. So I hope he can keep his head on straight and everything works out well for him and he can get back home soon because I'm sure, you know, your mind begins to kind of run amok and that could be dangerous for somebody like Jake who's getting a big opportunity here to be part of AEW. You know, I don't want to see him do anything to mess that up. So hopefully all will work out for Jake the Snake, even though I think he was out of his mind when he made those comments a few weeks ago when he said that Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels were the worst champions in WWE history. I respectfully disagree with that point of view. We had Tony Schiavone on commentary with Chris Jericho this week. As I mentioned before, and the next several weeks, Jericho sat in for some, I think it was something like 7 or 8 hours of commentary. I think it was PW Insider who had a report that said he was like an Iron Man at those tapings. So we got many more hours of Chris Jericho on commentary, which has to at least cover them through Double or Nothing, maybe longer. And that's a good thing because I thought Jericho was absolutely fantastic on commentary. Whatever that commentary was for that last man standing, never-ending match at WrestleMania between Edge and Randy Orton, this was the opposite of that. I thought Jericho and Tony together were very enjoyable. If all we get is Jericho and Tony Schiavone on commentary, and no Excalibur and no Jim Ross for the next 2 or 3 months, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Jericho is a natural. So they had a bunch of wrestlers and random people in the front row around ringside making noise, pretending to be fans. I mean, I guess they're all fans, right? We're all fans. The wrestlers are fans. So they were playing the role of fans on this show. We had the Murder Hawk Monster, Lance Archer. He was in the opener here, won an opening squash over Alan Ingalls. I think his name was Ingalls. Jericho called him Eagles at one point. Ingalls, Eagles, Eagles. Can pretty much call him mincemeat. And Archer won with the blackout. Jacob Donnelly, thank you for the $5. Said, felt like a bit of a filler show tonight, besides the main event. But he says he is completely turned around on this woman here that I'm about to talk about in this next match, Britt Baker. It was indeed Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, against Hikaru Shida. I know Shida is a big favorite of everybody in the chat. I could see why. She's a beautiful girl, very talented. I mean, it's just checks all the boxes of, you know, somebody that you would think AEW would want possibly to lead their women's division. She's great. I have didn't take me very long because I didn't know much about her work before she came to AEW. It didn't take me very long to come around on Hikaru Shida. This was one of the best AEW women's matches that I have ever seen. This was one of the best AEW women's matches that they have probably done since the beginning of the company. And it was easily the best match of Britt Baker's life. These ladies beat the shit out of each other for almost 20 minutes. Jericho, early in the match, he was talking about, relating to Britt Baker having an attitude adjustment or an attitude change, because he went through something very similar back in 1997 when he was, as he said, kissing babies and shaking hands. But then he started shaking babies and kissing hands. And that's when he became the Chris Jericho that we see today. Although I don't endorse the act of shaking babies. But I guess you do what you got to do to get ahead in professional wrestling. So Baker was, cheating, trying to get the upper hand on Sheeta. They ended up outside the ring. And Sheeta gets Baker basically, hung over the barricade. And a bunch of the wrestlers in the audience are holding her. They're holding Baker to make sure that she can't move. Jericho on commentary is appalled by this. He's freaking out. And Sheeta gets a running start, hits a knee lift. They cut to a break. But before they do, as they're showing these wrestlers that are in the audience holding down Britt Baker, Tony Schiavone goes, "Hey, there's Danny Jordan over there." And Jericho goes, "Who's Danny Jordan?" Now, I'm sure a lot of you are probably asking the same question. Who the hell is Danny Jordan? Only reason I know Danny Jordan is because she was just on NWA Circle Squared not too long ago. She was the one that came out with her burn book. It's part of her gimmick. She's got a burn book. It's like a little scrapbook. Pictures of all of her victims, all of her opponents. So I guess she didn't get that NWA contract after all. There was a spot in the match where Britt, before she went to go put the lockjaw on Sheeta, she put a glove on. She put a glove on her hand. Yeah, got to be safe with everything going on. She's just trying to be safe. But Sheeta got the rope break. These two, they're going back and forth. I mean, things are getting real stiff between them. A lot of stiff strikes. Somewhere in here, Baker got caught in the face. She ends up with a bloody nose. And I do mean a bloody nose. I don't know if her nose was broken or not. Jericho said it was. But she was bleeding all over the place. Sheeta hit a Michinoku driver for a near fall. Britt Baker hit a swinging neck breaker. Super kick for a near fall. And the finish saw Sheeta, I guess it was kind of a gut buster, but whatever it was, they were up on the top rope, and she basically dropped Baker down, like, across the top turnbuckle. It looked like she tried to break her in half. That did not look like a fun experience for Britt Baker. And then Sheeta hit the running knee for the win. This was a very good match. I dare say it may have been the best match on the entire show. Mr. Krabs, thank you for the $1.99. Says Britt Baker with the AEW Becky Lynch moment. Yes, Britt Baker is not nearly as over as Becky Lynch was at that time, though. I see what you're saying, but two different situations. By the way, for the people, I saw one or two people in the chat mention that they didn't get notification again about the live stream. That's a YouTube issue. It's really pissing me off. I thought it was resolved. Let me know if you got the notification or not. Some people get it, some people don't, and I don't quite understand why. It could be, if you are subscribed to the channel, if you look, you'll see that little bell, the notification bell. Just do me a favor and check and make sure that your notifications are set to on, on all the time. It's possible maybe your notifications aren't set properly, but it's probably just YouTube fucking up. We had that issue with the WrestleMania streams. There would have been even more people in there were it not for the fact that they didn't get any notifications that we were going live. So I don't know what the hell the solution is. But I see a lot of you did get it. I don't know why some do and some don't. It's just very bizarre to me. But what the hell are you going to do? We had a vignette in a trailer. I was going to say backstage, but they looked to be in a trailer. It was Kenny Omega and Michael Nakazawa. Now, Nakazawa was teaming with Omega tonight because Hangman Page obviously is not around with everything going on. Everything is just sort of on ice. Everything that we thought we were going to see, the seeds of dissension between Omega and Hangman Page because of the world situation. even though they're continuing on with these shows, a lot of these stories are basically frozen in time. You know, even Jon Moxley, he's the AEW champion. There is no buzz around the fact that this guy is the champion in AEW. I mean, it's almost as if he won the championship and everything just died. And I can't blame him. It's not his fault. And I'm going to talk about the build for him and Hager, which I think has been very good in terms of the video packages. But boy, does he feel cold as the champion right now. So he's, unfortunately, he's one of the victims of everything that's going on. It just does not feel like a big deal, the fact that Jon Moxley is the champion right now. So Nakazawa and Omega, they're in the trailer talking about their match. They're teaming up tonight. And they're talking about, you know, we need a team name. Nakazawa says, we need a team name. And I think he had suggested Best Friends. We're the Best Friends. And all of a sudden, Orange Cassidy, he very casually walks out of the bathroom. He's in the trailer. He walks out of the bathroom. And he opens the door to the trailer, lets in Trent and Chucky. Lets in the Best Friends. They're none too happy. They overheard what was going on. And Best Friends, that's our name. You're trying to jack our name. What the hell's wrong with you? And so they're very upset about this. And basically they say, we'll put the name on the line in the match tonight. And then Orange Cassidy just very casually strolls back into the bathroom. Look, when you gotta go, you gotta go. I know that feeling. He's got to freshly squeeze out, you know what, in the bathroom, I guess. Oh, my goodness gracious. Thank you to Raffman for the super chat as they roll on in here during the stream. There you see on your screen, by the way, a little banner on the bottom. Pro Wrestling Tees is running a sale. It's called the Spring Fling Sale. Kicks off tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern. You can get 20% off all shirts in our Sound Off store, prowrestlingtees.com/SolomonsterSoundsOff. When you use the code SPRINGFLING at checkout, you also get free shipping on all orders of $150 or more. I don't know how many of you are going to spend $150 on Pro Wrestling Tees, but you can get 20% off if you use the code SPRINGFLING. We got a commercial. Excalibur. He lent his voice. We got an Excalibur voiceover running us through the latest AEW rankings with each division, who the leaders are. Basically, the leaders in the men's, women's, and tag team divisions right now, in that order, are Jake Hager, Hikaru Shida, and The Dark Order. We then got a long video package, the first of two, on this show, hyping the empty arena AEW championship match next week between Jon Moxley and Jake Hager. They treated this like a package that you would see before a big boxing fight or before a big MMA fight. You know, Dana White, he's bound and determined. I'm guessing the owners are bound and determined, and Dana White is just, carrying out orders, but UFC is going to be doing a show, I think, from some private island somewhere. He's going to give Vince McMahon ideas. Vince McMahon's going to try to find a private island somewhere. He's going to have a whole new WrestleMania. Maybe out in the Bermuda Triangle somewhere. But we got a long video package here plugging Moxley and Hager. Moxley said, I'm not in the business of putting smiles on people's faces. Says, I'm going to beat Hager. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be violent. It's not going to be very pleasant. Hager was talking about, you know, he's a prize fighter. They had his wife, Catalina, she was interviewed. She said, you know, either, you know, my husband knows you either come home a winner or you don't come home. It's a hell of a wife he's got there. Either win or you are not welcome in the house. That's one way to motivate him to win. And Moxley said that he was very impressed. You know, Jake Hager, he gave him the DDT, right? The paradigm shift a couple weeks ago, and not 5 seconds later, he grabbed his leg, put him in the ankle lock. It's as if it just didn't have any effect on him at all. He said, look, we don't get paid by the hour. Next week's match could go 3 minutes, could go 30 minutes. I like the build. Jake Hager, I don't give two shits about Jake Hager. challenging for the championship. Jake Hager is not going to win the championship. Jake Hager should not win the championship. I cannot get excited about Jake Hager challenging for the championship. But I will give them credit for doing a fine job of building this up like it's a real fight. You know, they really want you to know that these two guys are going to beat the shit out of each other. It's going to be violent, all that kind of stuff. So I'm anxious, I guess, to see the match, to see exactly how violent they go with it. But I just cannot bring myself to get excited about, Jack Swagger. I don't care what his MMA record is, challenging for the championship. Chris Quillman, thank you for the $5. And Lord Frieza with the $1.99 super chat says, stay safe. Same right back at you, my friend. I hope everybody listening is staying safe wherever you may be. Kenny Omega and Michael Nakazawa against the best friends. Sean Spears at the beginning of this match walked out shouting, impress me. He was talking to Nakazawa. I guess he's still looking for a tag team partner. This made no sense to me. I have no idea why Sean Spears would be out here at this point when he's got a title tournament match in the main event later in the show. Not only was he out here in the middle of this tag team match, why in God's name would he even want to recruit Michael Nakazawa? Michael Nakazawa has been treated like a complete joke. All of a sudden, he's walking out here. He's telling Nakazawa, hey, I'm watching you. Hey, impress me. Don't you have a match with Cody to be preparing for? That was very strange. Nakazawa, you know, his whole gimmick, he's got the baby oil. He's rubbing baby oil on his body. Trent went to go chop him. All the chops are sliding right off of him. Later on, Orange Cassidy gets into the ring. Kenny Omega's in one corner. Nakazawa's in the other. They try to go for the group hug. They're going to mimic the best friend's group hug with Orange Cassidy in the middle. Basically, like the Oreo with the vanilla frosting in the middle. As they come together for the big hug, though, Orange Cassidy very slowly slips out of the way. Jericho was, I have to say this, the most entertaining part of this match was not the match itself, which I didn't care for. It was Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho was cracking Tony Schiavone up on the air all throughout this match. Tony was corpsing. He was corpsing on the air. Jericho had this guy in stitches. In fact, Jericho had me in stitches at different parts of the show. And speaking of stitches, one of the more memorable moments of Jericho's night on commentary came during this match. There was a point in the match where Jericho said, he was talking about, I learned from the best. Talking about cheating, I guess, and all that kind of stuff. He goes, I learned from the best. I'm not above it. I'll pull out a fork and cut a bitch. So, you know, look, Chris Jericho is the guy who always had the list, right? Jericho had the list. Well, there it is on your screen. Jericho has something to add to his list, though. To cut a bitch. That has now been added to Chris Jericho's list. Nakazawa pulled out what he calls the Venom Arm. So Santino had the Cobra. Mick Foley had the Mr. Socko, right? The white sock. Nakazawa pulls out what I believe is just a pair of underwear out from his tights. Puts it over his hand. Puts the Venom Arm on Trent. Chuck makes the save. Nakazawa accidentally gives Omega the Venom Arm. There was a pile driver in here that got a near fall. And in the end, the best friends hit strong zero to Nakazawa and pick up the win for the best friends. I thought this went far too long, far longer than it should have. I just couldn't get into this. I think it sucks that, you know, Omega basically has these makeshift partners now, and he's kind of, I don't want to say twisting in the wind, but it kind of feels that way without Hangman being around. And I understand it's not anything that they can really help. It's not their fault. It sucks. You know, Kenny Omega and Michael Nakazawa, who cares? Who cares? So I was not a fan of this match other than Chris Jericho's commentary because I thought he was great. And speaking of Omega and Hangman, we interrupt this live stream for a message from one half of the AEW Tag Team Champions, Hangman Page. who tweeted this during the show tonight. Just know that no matter how tough these times may get, and no matter how much we all may need to lean on one another, I will never pay Isaiah Cassidy that $12. I thought that was a very important message to convey to all of you here during this AEW Dynamite stream. A message from Hangman Page. Britt Baker. She was backstage. She's very upset. She's very angry at what Hikaru Shida did to her, busting up her nose. She claims that she lost half her blood out there in that ring tonight. Shida is lucky that she didn't break any of her teeth. But she says that if she had, it's all good because she is a dentist. Half her blood. I don't know that she would be back there cutting a promo if she had lost half of her blood. Gavin Amy, thank you for the super chat. Kevin, oh my God. Hope everything's going on, or going well, I should say. Going on and going well with Kevin. A. Lavelle, thank you for the $10. Russo on a pole, bro. I'm going to be talking Vince Russo and Jim Cornette this Sunday. Sound off episode 647 when I talk about Dark Side of the Ring. Basically, Cornette versus Russo part two. I feel like every season of Dark Side of the Ring, the producers are going to try to work an episode in that requires comments from Jim Cornette and Vince Russo. So let's think of what they could come up with for season three that would require both of them. Maybe an episode, probably an episode on TNA, in all honesty. They could probably do a few Dark Side of the Ring episodes on TNA in the Dixie Carter era. But I feel like they get a kick out of it. You know, the first season, they talked about the Montreal Screwjob. We got Cornette, we got Russo, right? I thought Russo was quoted on that episode. I'm pretty sure he was. This season, it's Brawl for All. Next season, they could talk about TNA. It never gets old. Brody Lee. We had another vignette with Brody Lee and his minions in the Dark Order. Gavin, I see your message. Hold on a second here. Gavin wanted me to read out his message. Said, I assume that's a misprint, but I shock that WWE, UFC, and AEW Gavin, you got to type slower next time so you don't, either that or your autocorrect is out of control. It says, I shock that WWE, UFC, and AEW don't doing empty show in Fiji or Falkland Islands or Greenland or Mongolia. Well, if they did a show in Mongolia, oh, that's Mongrovia. I was going to make a joke about the question mark in the NWA. That's not Mongolia, though. That's Mongrovia. They could do a show in Mongrovia. Why not? I'd fly out to Mongrovia for a show. I haven't heard of any cases of CV over in Mongrovia. I think that's a clean country. And Mr. Majid, thank you for the super chat. Appreciate that. Food Hive. Food Hive with the $2. Appreciate the hell out of everybody who contributes here. We'll take calls a little bit later. Brody Lee, as I was mentioning, there was a vignette where he had all of the minions of the Dark Order. They were outside somewhere. They were lined up outside in their masks, in their gear. You can't see who they are. He's very upset. He was running them down, something about them not dressing appropriately. And then he looked at one of the minions and said, basically, I have an opportunity for you. And then he disappeared into the building with one of his minions, and that was it. So he continues to be very upset with his fellow Dark Order members. I got no sympathy for him. You're the one who inherited the group, my friend. Of all the people you could have inherited and put into your group, this is the crew that you chose. You've got to just deal with the hand that you chose in the first place. We got a broken Matt Hardy promo from his home at the Hardy compound. He was mocking each member of the Inner Circle, or as he called it, the circle that is internal. Said Sammy Guevara is a false god. Calls himself the Spanish god. Said Sammy is a false god. He is a false Latino, doesn't even know Spanish, which is true, by the way. I don't believe Sammy Guevara speaks a lick of Spanish, even though he calls himself the Spanish God. He also said that he cannot wait to eat, proud and powerful, because he loves Puerto Rican food. I'm sure somebody will be offended by this, because everybody's offended about every fucking thing these days. You should see some of the messages that I get. I always laugh, because, you know, I crack jokes every now and then, and, you know, everybody's got to be careful with what they say. But there's a lot of other podcasts and a lot of other YouTube shows, believe me, where there's a lot of shit that gets said that's far more offensive than what you'll ever hear on one of these streams. And I get some of these messages from people who were so overly sensitive, it just makes me absolutely sick to my stomach. You should see some of the messages that I get. Some of the whiners and the complainers out there, the things that people just latch onto because they're so insecure in their own life. Every little thing is so offensive to these people. I'm sure there's going to be people who find some fault with Matt Hardy's promo. Oh my God, he insulted Puerto Ricans. Oh my God. You'll see. They'll find something to be offended about. They had nothing to be offended by. I don't think they would know what to do with themselves. These people make me sick. He said that Jake Hager called him Jakenstein, says he's been brainwashed by Chris Jericho. He goes, a fine athlete. But he has been brainwashed by Chris Jericho. Says all I got to do is put two bolts in the side of his head, he would be Jakenstein. Jericho said that he wanted to recruit Vanguard 1, and Matt said, you'll never recruit Vanguard 1. Vanguard 1 showed up. He literally had the shirt. I believe it was the shirt that Jericho had hung on the drone last week, trying to recruit him into the inner circle. And it was in a literal dumpster fire. They burned the shirt. And the big payoff here was that Matt Hardy challenged Chris Jericho. He challenged Le Hole of the Ass, as he called him, to come to the Hardy compound for what he is calling the Elite Deletion from the Hardy compound, which has me very excited. I assume it's one-on-one. It's not necessarily the Elite against the Inner Circle. This sounded like an invitation for Chris Jericho to come on down to the Hardy compound for what he is calling the Elite Deletion, which if it's anything like the Final Deletion, I think would be a fucking blast. I mean, even if it wasn't a match, just picture Chris Jericho rolling on up to the Hardy compound in his fancy sports car and just all of the hilarity that would ensue. I don't know if that's going to be on the show next week or not. I am very much looking for. I hope they did this. I hope they had Jericho go to North Carolina to visit the Hardy compound. Because that just, I think that would be television gold. So I am very much looking forward to that. I'm going to be very upset now if they don't do this. If they don't follow through on this, I'm going to be very upset. Brody Lee won a quick squash over Lee Johnson. So Lee on Lee violence here on this show tonight. Mr. Krabs is back. Boy, I got a lot of crabs tonight. But that's okay. See, because tonight, that's a good thing. Says, Plane Ride from Hell should be on Dark Side of the Ring. Hey, that could be a good one. That could be. I mean, how dark was it, though? I mean, the plane didn't go down. If the plane had gone down, I would say, sure. I don't know how dark that is. And Balls of Steel Chicken. Thank you for the $5. Chris Jericho on commentary, he says, is like hearing the NBA on TNT crew. That is some good S-word. We could say it. That is such good shit. You could say it. You could say you're going to offend anybody, and if you do, who cares? Like I said, we're out to it. We're going to offend everybody. We don't give a shit anymore. Cody took on Sean Spears in the first match of the TNT Championship Tournament. Before they went to break, Spears had Cody outside, gave him a neck breaker on the floor. When they came back, Spears had set one of the guardrails propped up against the side of the ring, and he suplexed Cody onto the guardrail. So that looked like it sucked. Jericho was great here. Jericho got serious for a little bit. You know, he was in and out of being serious and being goofy and ragging on Shivani, but, you know, he was serious here. He was talking about, I think, Cody's back and, you know, injuries and that type of stuff. I thought Jericho was very good here in the main event. Cody made a comeback, caught Spears with the knees to the gut, right to the breadbasket, as Gorilla Monsoon would say, coming off the top rope. Jericho, somewhere in here, threatened Cody's mother. I don't remember what instigated this, but he threatened Cody. It might have been Brandy. Brandy was out there. But Jericho threatened Cody's mom if he ever saw her again. This is after, if you remember, back at Full Gear when they had their match, Cody's mother, who was in the front row at ringside, said, "Fuck you," to Jericho and slapped him. She said, "Fuck you," and she slapped him. And so Jericho now is threatening old ladies. He is threatening violence against Cody's mom if he ever sees her again. Cody set a table up outside the ring, and then on the opposite side of the ring outside, one of the fans, quote-unquote fans, grabbed Spears and held him for Cody to hit him. Jericho's losing his mind at this point. He cannot believe this. If a fan did that to me, I'd punch him right in the mouth. He kept going off on Pineapple Pete. We need Pineapple Pete now to be a recurring character on the show. He couldn't stand Pineapple Pete. I don't like pineapple. I think pineapple is disgusting. But he thought Pineapple Pete was just being highly obnoxious. That's right, I said it. I don't like pineapple. And you know what's worse than pineapple? Pineapple on pizza. I don't know why people would even conceive of such a thing. Pineapple on pizza? What kind of savage would even think of such a thing? It just doesn't make sense to me. So Brandy at one point got up on the apron, and Cody almost bowled her over. He almost flattened his wife. Thankfully, he stopped short, but then Spears got Cody up on his shoulders and dumped him out of the ring, gave him an attitude adjustment out over the top rope and down through the table, the same table I believe that Cody had set up earlier in the match. So it looked like Cody was out of it. He barely made it back inside. Before the count of 10, he hit not one, but two crossroads to Sean Spears. Spears kicked out. Spears kicked out. And Cody put him in the figure four leg lock. This was a very, very odd finish. I didn't like this finish. He put Spears in the figure four. So I figured, all right, he kicked out of the crossroads. He's going to put him in the figure four, get the submission. He'll hang on as long as he can, and then he'll tap out. But he never tapped out. He never was unconscious. He was fully conscious, but he never tapped out. Instead, his shoulders were down, and the referee counted the three. And I think Chris Jericho made the comment on commentary. He said, in all the years, 30 years I've been in wrestling, I don't believe that I've ever seen somebody get pinned off of a figure four leg lock. The only time I can remember seeing somebody get pinned off of a figure four was when Ric Flair won the WWF title back for the second time at that taping from Randy Savage. He had him in the figure four. Savage had had this knee injury and storyline going back months. And he had him in the figure four. Savage passed out from the pain. So at least in that situation, Savage was out cold. And he pinned him and Flair won back the championship. And then he lost it a month later to Bret Hart. That is the only time I can recall anybody ever being pinned off a figure four. You know, if he was out, that would make sense, but it didn't look like he was out. I just thought that was a very bizarre way to finish the match. Very strange. But not surprisingly, Cody wins, he advances, and he is going to meet the winner of the Sammy Guevara-Darby Allin match, which I believe takes place next week. I don't know if they announced it explicitly for next week or not. But it's clear to me that we're going to get Darby and Cody. And we'll see what happens from there. I mean, it does make sense that Cody goes all the way to the finals to face Archer. But I would not, I'm not going to dismiss the possibility that Darby gets his big win finally over Cody. They want you to think that we're going to get Cody and Archer. And instead, Darby pulls out the upset win and goes on to the finals. I think he's got a pretty decent chance if that ends up being the match. So, as I said before, you know, on the whole, I thought it was a good show, but I wouldn't call it a great show. Definitely not the strongest Dynamite that they've had in the last few weeks, by far. Not even close. It had its moments. And, look, they can't all be home runs. Sometimes you hit a single, sometimes you hit a double. I'd say tonight was a double. I think that's fair. Magician Sapphire, thank you for the $10. Hardy versus Jericho at the compound should be awesome. I agree. Kev, back again with the super chat. Would you rank Chris Jericho top 10 of all time? Well, it's funny you should ask that because I just answered that question on the podcast a few weeks ago. So if you go back in the archives, and it's up here on the YouTube channel, sometime in the last 2 or 3 weeks, I believe it was, I think I gave my top 10 all time. Where does Jericho fit? And I won't spoil it. I won't give it away. But I did answer that question. Cuba the Goat, thank you for the $1.99. Jericho must be protected at all costs. I agree. Mr. Krabs, like I said, we got a lot of crabs tonight. A lot of crabs. Chris Jericho versus Mrs. Rhodes for Cody's custody of Cody. Yes. Chris Jericho against Cody's mom with custody of Cody on the line. I love it. Jesse Camp, thank you for the $5. Had a patient, he says, see your name on my laptop at work today and ask what a solo monster was. Thanks for keeping us entertained. Well, I host all of my shows solo, right? So I guess it kind of makes sense. Solo monster. Casey DeMose, thank you for the $1.99. Buy or sell Dark Order or Aces and Eights. Oh my God. It's like Loser A and Loser B. I mean, it's totally random. I could pick a name out of a hat. I don't want either one of them. You can have them both. So let's see what you guys thought tonight of this, not only this show, but also the NXT show, which I'm looking forward to seeing Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. Have no idea what happened. I will be watching it a little bit later on. I hope this is the blow-off. I really do. I really hope this is the blow-off between Gargano and Ciampa. It's time. It is time. I feel like it's time. Food Hive, thank you for the $10 on a poll, bro. What's your favorite food, Solomonster? My favorite food? I mean, chicken. Grilled chicken, fried chicken, barbecue chicken. If there was no chicken left in the world, I would starve. I would die of hunger. Who doesn't like chicken? Holy shit! Jason Nibs with the $100 bomb via Super Chat. Look at creepy Jeff Hardy. Look at Mr. Anderson with that fucking dumb face, that dumb look on his face. Jason Nibs knocking it out of the park. Mowing down everybody. All the $10, the $5. Holy shit, Jason, thank you. Didn't even have a message. Just wanted to donate to the stream. I appreciate the hell out of you for that. You know, it's funny. WrestleMania, we had a lot of traffic. So both nights, you know, we had, I think we peaked on both nights with like 3,500 people each night. And that's with all the people who didn't get the notification. So who knows how many more people would have joined had they known I was going live. But we had a lot of people listening live. And I took a lot of phone calls. And the service I use for the phone calls, I don't just use Skype or Discord or anything like that. I'm not totally sold on Discord. But we took a whole bunch of phone calls. And then I end the stream and I check my email. And the way I have it set up is I have a certain number of lines open. Usually I keep 10 lines open. If they all fill up and I take a whole bunch of calls, I have a balance. I have a credit card on my balance. And if it goes too low, it just automatically renews. It renewed 3 times on Saturday. And when it renews, it's like $40 a pop or something. So I look, I'm like, holy shit, over $100 just to take phone calls. And then it was something similar on night two. So believe me, I very much appreciate all the support during these streams. And I have no intention of not taking calls anymore. It could just be very costly when I do. But let's check the polls out and see what you guys thought of the show tonight. Let's start with AEW. There you go. Almost 900 votes. It's actually lower than usual. Usually by now we have over 1,000. About 875 votes so far. 82% thumbs up. About 18% thumbs down. So that's a pretty, excellent score. I guess you guys thought the show was excellent tonight. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was excellent, but you guys thought it was excellent. I wonder how much of that is Chris Jericho's commentary. I wonder how many people are voting 82% up for Chris Jericho's commentary. If I was voting exclusively for that, I would give it 95%. He was the highlight of the night. Here's the NXT poll. Now, this is rare. We have more votes in the NXT poll than we have in the AEW poll. That almost never happens. We've already got 1,000 votes in the NXT poll. 75.5% thumbs up, 24.5% thumbs down. So a higher score for AEW, but more votes in so far for NXT. So how about that? I wonder where the final numbers, what the final tally will be when all the numbers for the polls are done. You can vote right now. Polls are open for 2 days. And leave a comment. Leave a tweet. Let me know. What did you think of the show tonight? Balls of Steel Chicken, thank you for the $5. Isaiah Cassidy versus Hangman Page, confirmed. If Hangman loses, he has to give the $12 to Isaiah. You know, I worry about Hangman Page. He's sitting all by himself at home. I think all by himself. Is he married? Not that I'm interested. I'm just asking. I mean, I don't know if he's home alone, if he's got a girlfriend, a boyfriend. Who knows? I don't know. He could be all by himself doing nothing but drinking all day. I worry about the guy. He's got a drinking problem. He's day drinking. He's night drinking. By the time he comes back, I'll have a big beer gut. This is going to be a very different Hangman when we get him back on TV. You got to keep him viable here. I mean, he was one of the biggest stars they had in that entire company. And Mr. Krabs, buy or sell. Mr. Kennedy against The Undertaker in 2006. And Randy Orton against The Undertaker in 2005. I can't vote for Undertaker and Kennedy over most anything. I wasn't a huge fan of that feud. Undertaker and Orton, I'll go Undertaker Orton. But I always think about the whole Bob Orton thing. Not telling The Undertaker that he had, tuberculosis or something? What was it that Bob Orton Sr. had? Was it tuberculosis? Or like at one time in his life or something, he had tuberculosis and nobody bothered to tell The Undertaker. And I think Bob Orton was bleeding at an angle on TV. Undertaker was pissed. He was furious when he found out about that. That's like, I always think of that when I think of The Undertaker and Randy Orton feud. And I would love to have been a fly on the wall when The Undertaker found that news out. When he found that out. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall. Well, there you see the phone number. For those of you who would like to call in, I just realized that I did not have the phone number on the screen. So it's kind of hard for people to call in when the phone number is not on the screen. I apologize. But there it is. So we'll take a few before we wrap up here if anybody wants to call in. But we do have a couple. And so we'll go first to, I think it's, is it? I don't know if this is Travis. I don't know, but we're going to go to 740, and we'll see who it is. 740, you're on the air.
What's happening, Saul Monster? It's your boy Hurricane Travis again.
Hey, Hurricane.
So, first question, I enjoyed the main event.
It sounded like Aleister Black. It sounded like Aleister Black just opened his crypt behind you. I heard the creaking of the... I don't know what that was. What was that? Did someone open a door?
I'm there to pick a fight.
Yes, pick a fight with me. Fight me. Go ahead.
Oh, speaking of which, quick note about Raw. The Aleister Black match with Apollo Crews. Do you think they stretched that out for time, or do you think they actually have plans for Apollo this time around by having him go toe-to-toe with him?
They don't have plans. They don't have plans for Apollo. They every time somebody gets their hopes up that, oh, maybe this time they're going to do something with him. Now they actually have plans for Apollo. Yes, just like they had plans for Ricochet. Just like they had plans for, who do you team up with this? With Cedric Alexander. They have plans for everybody until they don't. Their whole goal is, they have 3 hours of television time to fill. So either they're showing an old match, or they're just putting matches at, look what they did on Monday night with the Street Profits and the other guys. How many times did they restart that match? 3 times? All they're trying to do,
yeah, at least.
All they're trying to do is kill time. Believe me, they've got nothing. They've got no plans for Apollo Crews. If they've not done anything with him by now, they're not doing shit with him. All they're trying to do is kill TV time. That's it.
Okay, just really quick, because I want to give other people a chance to talk. First off, what was your favorite Dark Side of the Ring of the series of the season so far? And secondly, would you buy or sell on Cody versus Sean Spears tonight, or their all-out match back in August?
I don't remember too much about their all-out match. I think it was kind of similar. I might go with their all-out match just because I guess it kind of felt like a bigger deal. But I can't say that I was overly impressed by either one of their matches, to be honest with you. Is that a good enough answer for you? I mean, I does that meet your
I agree.
expectations? Okay. Okay.
I agree. I'll go with the pay-per-view match though, because the crowd's everything.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. That's actually a great point. They had a crowd for that. They did not have a crowd for this. So yeah, by default, I would go with the pay-per-view match.
All right. Thanks, Bobby.
All right, thank you. Have a good night. So there you go. That's our first caller of the night as other people filter on in. Just want to check the chat here. Somebody, who is it that posted that message before? I was saying Bob Orton. I was talking about Bob Orton and the whole thing with Undertaker and everything. What was it? Did he have TB? Somebody in the chat said he had AIDS. He didn't have fucking AIDS. No, Bob Orton did not have AIDS. Bob Orton, I believe it was tuberculosis, but I'll have to double check that when I'm off the air. All I know is that Undertaker was supposedly very upset, as I would be too, if I was going to be working with somebody and was not told that they had a condition like that. I'd be very upset. Let's go to 201.
Hey, Solomon, how you doing, man?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Look, listen, man. What is going on with Vince McMahon not liking NXT? Like, when I saw Charlotte Flair win that NXT title, like, it doesn't seem right. Like, I don't think she deserved it at all.
Are you talking about Charlotte winning at WrestleMania?
Yeah, I don't think she deserved it. I think Rhea Ripley should have had her moment right there at the stage.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I was hoping that Rhea was going to win. I thought it was the wrong move to make. And I don't know what they did on NXT tonight yet. So, maybe it's possible we're going to get, Charlotte against Io or people who we haven't seen Charlotte in the ring with before, and that could be cool. But I would not have put Charlotte over Rhea Ripley. I just have to do a search here because this is going to drive me nuts if I don't find out what the hell Bob Orton had. Now, I'm the only person right now live on anywhere on YouTube doing a medical search on the history of Bob Orton's condition here. So let me see here. Bob Orton, let's see here. Was it tuberculosis or was it hepatitis? I don't even remember what it was. I feel like tuberculosis of like 1940s or something. Maybe he probably was born in the 1940s for all I know. Maybe he did have tuberculosis. Let's see. Bob Orton, tuberculosis. Da 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 da. Tuberculosis, Bob Orton. Guarantee I'm the only person anywhere on the web searching for this. All right, well, nothing comes up, so maybe it wasn't tuberculosis. Maybe I gave him tuberculosis by accident. I think I gave Bob Orton tuberculosis by accident. Bob Orton, hepatitis. Let's see. Bob Orton, hepatitis. Yes, okay, there it is. That's a big difference. Jesus. So he had hepatitis C. That's what it was. Okay. Well, I'm glad I got that straightened. That would have drove me nuts if I didn't fix that. Okay. So he had hepatitis. Well, look, I'd be upset all the same if nobody told me that the person I was working with and who was bleeding all over me had hepatitis. Yes, I agree 100% with The Undertaker. He had every right to be upset. But thankfully for Bob Orton, he did not have tuberculosis, so that's good. Let's go. This is not a conversation I expected to be having with myself. Let's go to 760.
Hello, is this Cell Monster?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Cell Monster, what's up? This is Noel. How's it going?
Good, Noel. How are you?
I'm good. Just, hanging in there, trying to stay safe and get through these tough times,
Well, that's the most important thing.
Oh, yeah. And, real quick, before I get to AEW, I heard in the news that in your neck of the woods, things are kind of leveling down. Is that true?
Supposedly, but I don't see any evidence of it, so I think it's a little premature to say that. Hopefully, in the next few weeks, though, things will start to calm down a little bit. But it's still pretty it's pretty scary out there. I had to go out to pick up something at the store, and I think I might be the only person in all of Brooklyn who does not have a mask. I don't know where these people are getting these masks from. Everybody, and like surgical masks. You can't find them anywhere.
Right.
I have no idea if there's some secret stash that I'm unaware of, but apparently I'm the only one who doesn't have it. So that's a little unnerving to me.
I see. Well, if you happen to know anybody who you know, sews, is a seamstress, I would commission them for a mask. That's what I did. I actually had a close friend of mine make a pretty cool DC Comics mask with Batman right in the center because he's my favorite. And I actually picked it up today and it's really cool. So yeah, I would, if you know anybody who sews, I would recommend contacting them and seeing if they can make you a mask. Cause that's what a lot of people are doing. They're contacting, there's like a high demand these days for seamstresses in terms of making face masks because, you know, people need them.
Well, I think I'll be all right. I have a Lucha Underground mask here. So if I have to wear a mask, I've got my Lucha mask. I'll put that on.
Hey, what works, works.
Exactly.
But all that matters is that you're staying safe.
Yes, yes. So what did you think of tonight's show?
You know, it was a good show. It wasn't the best. I've seen better. But for sure, I think Jericho's commentary was the highlight of the whole show. The line of the night for me was during the Britt Baker Hikaru Shida mask. He said, in reference to Britt Baker, who was bleeding, he says, "She went from Ace Frehley to Gene Simmons in one match." I popped so hard for that line because I love Kiss. I'm a big Kiss fan. And to see him make that reference, I couldn't contain myself. It was great.
Yeah, he had a lot of good little references and stories tonight on the show. And this was only week one. Apparently, we're going to get him on commentary for another 6 weeks. So I think he's going to make the shows more enjoyable. I like the chemistry with him and Tony. Yeah, it's just very freewheeling, and they play off each other very well. So, and again, I'm not knocking Excalibur and look, Jim Ross has good weeks and bad weeks. I thought that their announced team before was good. But if this is the team that we're left with for the next 6 or 8 weeks, I'm okay with that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I'll take Jericho any day on commentary over what we got during that Edge and Randy Orton match at WrestleMania any day of the week.
Absolutely. Anything else before I let you go?
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you one question. So I know things are, just things are crazy right now, but hopefully when things go back to normal and AEW can start doing shows with live crowds in the building, I want to know, how long do you think it will take before they can finally start running shows in California, mainly in the Southern California area? Because, you know, I'm a Southern California guy. I live about 2 hours away from San Diego. And I just keep wondering, you know, when is AEW going to start running shows in the Southern California area? And when are they going to start coming to places like San Diego, Los Angeles, things in the whole SoCal area? Because, you know, truth be told, I've never been to a major wrestling show like a WWE or an AEW. My brothers and I actually bought tickets to go to Double or Nothing, which would be our first ever major show, but it looks like that's not going to happen due to everything that's going on. So I'm just hoping that when things do return to normal and they can start running full buildings again with live audiences, they can come to an area like San Diego, just California in general. So what do you think, Saul Monster? How long do you think it will take before AEW comes to California?
I don't see them coming to California. I mean, the earliest I could see them really going anywhere to any major city is probably the fall. I mean, I don't think that things are going to be really rebounding back to normal anytime in the next few months. I think the summer is gone. And I think it's going to be a while. I think it'll be a slow thing. It's not like you just snap your fingers and things go back to normal. So by the time they're ready to sort of get people back into those buildings again, I don't see it happening until late in the year. But I think, you know, eventually they'll go there. Eventually things will kind of get back to a sense of normal and we'll get people back into the buildings and they'll be back in Vegas and they'll go out to California. I worry about AEW more than I worry about WWE. I think WWE, they're big enough and have enough money and all that. They'll be fine. They could afford to even take off a whole bunch of months and not have anything. AEW, I worry more about because they are a newer company. You know, thank God for them, they signed that deal when they did in January with TNT. If they hadn't signed that extension, I don't know what their future would look like. I don't know what their future would look like if they didn't lock that contract in when they did. That, I think it was a 4-year extension or 3-year extension with TNT. But they're a new company. They're on a budget. They're a new company. They were building momentum. You know, they were building nicely. They had a lot of kind of goodwill built up after that Revolution pay-per-view. And then for this to happen, I mean, obviously there's more important things going on than, you know, pro wrestling. But from an AEW standpoint, it could not have come at a worse time because they really had a lot of momentum coming out of that last pay-per-view. And Darby Allin had what I think was the best match of his AEW run so far. Moxley won the championship. He was just getting going with his title run. I was enjoying the build to the Blood and Guts match, that War Games match they were going to do in Newark. They sold that show out on day one, 10,000 tickets moved in Jersey. It was going to be a big night for them. Nice buffer between, you know, now and the next pay-per-view. It sucks. It really does stifle their momentum. And the longer this goes on for, that's just, it's bad news for AEW. You know, they have not touched a million viewers live on Wednesdays since, I think, the very first episode. You can factor in DVR viewing. With DVR viewing, supposedly they were, you know, pulling 1.2, 1.3 million every week. But they had not touched 1 million live viewers in many months. Last few weeks, they had gotten up there in that 900,000 range. They were kind of coming close. And I feel like that Blood and Guts show, they would have been able to break through that million for the first time in a while. When this is all over and they get people back into the buildings and things kind of go back to normal, you know, are they going to just return to where they were before? Or are some of these more casual fans who maybe were checking out AEW, are they going to even be there, you know, when the time comes? Are people who are watching wrestling just going to stop watching wrestling because they can't stand these empty arena shows? CM Punk a few weeks ago saying that empty arena wrestling is unwatchable. It's a strong word to use. I can see where he's coming from. I don't totally disagree with him. Wrestling was not meant to be held in an empty building. How many fans are going to watch and think the same thing and go, I can't watch this shit. You got no people in the buildings. It could be very hard to get some of those eyeballs back. So, you know, if 900,000 was the norm for AEW before, or 800,000, you know, who's to say that when things go back to normal, the new norm is not going to be 600,000 or 700,000? That goes for NXT too. My hope is that these people will still be there when this is all over and done with. Mr. Krabs, yet again, showing a lot of love for the podcast tonight. I appreciate that. Mr. Krabs, will Cody compete for the women's title? Well, he may have to. He can't compete for the AEW title. He's not allowed. He's not allowed. So he may have to compete for the women's championship. He may have no choice. Eric Cross, thank you for the $5. Just wanted to say that I've been watching the best TV show ever, The Shield. What is your favorite episode and season? And he says he hates how it ended. Well, I'm not going to give any spoilers away, but I have recommended The Shield over the years. It is one of the best TV shows ever made. My top three, in no particular order, I've said this before, Sopranos, The Shield, Breaking Bad. It don't get no better than that. I mean, I watch a lot of great shows, but to me, those are the three that you kind of hold above all the other. I haven't watched The Wire on HBO. I've heard The Wire is very good. I've not seen it. I've not watched The Wire. I mean, you guys can tell me if it's worth it. I can start watching soon. Maybe I'll get into it. But yes, The Shield is one of the, as far as favorite episode, we can email me. I'll have to give that some thought. There's been a lot of good ones. And Dry Chicken Without Flavor, which is one of the worst things in the world. Dry Chicken Without Flavor, thank you for the $2 super chat. Britt Baker is grit. Whole Charlotte is all dry. Are you implying that Charlotte is a bird? As I look at the dancing shark, dancing blue baby shark here on the screen. Let's go to, I think it's Chris, 502.
Mr. Monster.
Hey, Chris, what's going on here on this Dynamite Wednesday?
Not a lot. Just seeing what your thoughts on the show was tonight, like where you might have ranked tonight's show.
Yeah, I said I didn't think it was great. I thought it was good. I thought it was like a middle of the road show. It just feels like, you know, they're focused right now on the TNT title tournament, which is fine. I thought the video hype.
Do you like that name, by the way?
The TNT
title?
Yeah,
do you?
Yeah, it's fine. I don't mind it. I think it's fine. I'm more curious what the belt looks like. I want to see what this championship looks like. We know it's going to have the logo on it. They've already said that it's going to have the network logo. But I want to know what this title looks like before I judge whether or not I like it or not.
Well, yeah, I think we're all kind of anticipating that. Do you think they'll have somebody like, well, probably won't be Bret Hart again, but do you think they'll have somebody debut it like that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, they brought Bret out for that's the world title. This is not the world title. I don't really see the need to do that. So no, I think it'll, you know, look, if it will sort of be a version of a television title since it's named after the network they're on, right? So it's basically going to be a TV title. So think of some of the most prolific TV champions in NWA history, WCW history. I mean, Arn Anderson was one. Maybe they find an old TV champion, like a legend like that, to kind of introduce the title. And they already have Arn Anderson under contract. And if Cody is in the finals, maybe Arn. Maybe Arn is, you know, helps present the title or something. I could see that.
All right, well, you be safe. I just wanted to get your thoughts on tonight's show, where it actually kind of ranked, because I did enjoy it, but, you know, I thought it was kind of, like, lower on the list. I mean, it's still a good show, you know. I still think, these empty arena shows, they're just hard to do.
Yeah, I mean, they try to get the people in the crowd making noise and everything, and they do a good job with it. You know, I don't know. I assume this week they were back in the same building they were in last week, which is the Nightmare Factory in down there in Georgia. It's got more personality than the Performance Center does because they're able to fit their entire set in there. So they have the two tunnels and they have the giant, you know, the giant lights and everything. So it's better than the PC. But again, these empty arena shows, you can only do so much. You can only do so much with them, and I think they do a better job with it than WWE, but yeah, both brands, it's hard to watch. You know, it can be hard to watch at times.
Yeah, I agree. All right, well, I'm sure you watched the show last night at Dark Side of the Ring, so, you know, just again, we do not claim Jim Cornette out here. I hate seeing Louisville, Kentucky pop up right before his face does, but, you know, it's the way it goes.
Yeah, well,
but you have a good night.
You too.
And I appreciate you taking my call.
Oh, always. And stay safe out there, because if you get on Jim Cornette's bad side, apparently he will call and threaten you and your family. He will take a tennis racket or a baseball bat, and he will threaten murder. He will threaten to murder you and your family. We can't have that. Jim Cornette, well, I'll get into that on Sunday. I got a lot to say about Dark Side of the Ring, so we'll get into that then. Mr. Krabs, thank you. Better heel, Inner Circle or Tony Soprano's mom? Oh, Livia, my God. She was an evil witch. Livia, by far. It's not even close. At least the Inner Circle has some likable qualities about them. Sammy Guevara. Come on, who can hate on Sammy Guevara? Who can hate Chris Jericho after this commentary job tonight? He's the biggest babyface in the company. Livia Soprano, on the other hand, she's evil incarnate. Let's take a call from... why don't we go to the West Coast? 626, you're on the air.
Hi, Tall Monster. My name is Benjamin. I've been a fan for almost about 10 years now.
Wow.
Really fast, I want to thank you for all the support and content you've been delivering. I know times are rough for everyone given the circumstances, but personally, sir, I've been trying to catch every single video you've been uploading, trying to catch every single live review. So from the bottom of my heart and a diehard wrestling fan, thank you very much. That being said, sorry for the background noise. My dog wants some attention, so I'm trying to multitask. The only dog that I know that's allergic to grass and to human food. So anyways, number one, I highly recommend for you to watch the Russell Talk review on the Firefly Funhouse match. They provide a lot of, you know, interesting opinions and evaluations on all the Easter eggs and references, etc. So I really encourage that for you, sir. Now, that being said, I think a question that's really boggling my mind is that, you know, the potential of an offseason for wrestling is pretty relevant now, given the circumstances. Now, I know WWE would really benefit from an offseason, given the current product is really bad. I think everyone can agree. And to some extent, maybe a small break would first of all just give us a peace of mind and, you know, give the wrestlers a break. But as for AEW, sir, I'm kind of a little iffy about it. So I was wondering, you know, the potential benefits and possible consequences if AEW takes an off season. Other than that, sir, I just thank you for everything. And yeah, that's pretty much my only question.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate that. That's a long time to be listening to the show, and I love hearing from longtime listeners. So thank you for sticking with me for so long. I think, you know, I just got done talking about AEW and why I'm more concerned about them than I would be WWE the longer all of this, you know, this whole situation continues to drag out for. I think there are pros and cons to both promotions taking an off season. You know, for WWE, the time to do it would be right after WrestleMania. That would have been the time to do it. Now we find out that WWE is going to be, you know, tomorrow and Friday, going to be taping weeks worth of television. So WWE will continue to crank out content each and every week for at least another month or so. AEW taking an off season, I think, you know, it would be smart. I think it would be smart, frankly, for all of them to just shut down, just from a pure safety standpoint. If we're really not being too selfish about things, because look, we're all wrestling fans, right? We want wrestling. We want wrestling on Mondays and Wednesdays and you know, all the usual nights. Maybe not Fridays, the way SmackDown's been. So selfishly, we want wrestling. And as a podcaster, I talk about wrestling every week. If they went into an off season, I would still do a show, but it would make my job a lot more difficult. And I'd have less content because there's less stuff to talk about. So selfishly, hey, it's great. We got wrestling on TV every week. But from a safety standpoint, how smart is it for them to still be doing shows? No matter how many safety precautions they take, there's a reason there's no baseball. There's a reason there's no basketball. There's no football. There's no hockey. There's no NASCAR. There's no Broadway. Concerts. It's all shut down. Why should wrestling be held to a different standard? Because it's wrestling? Because they can get away with it? That just doesn't seem right to me. So I think they should just all, you know, probably shut down if we're being perfectly honest. But if AEW was to take an off season, you know, it does stall their momentum. They had a lot of it coming out of that February pay-per-view. So I do worry about that. I don't think it would be a killer. I don't think it would kill them. They could still put content out, you know, on their social media channels. And but you can only tape so much stuff from the Hardy compound. How would they fill that time on TNT? You know, WWE, if they had to, they've got thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of content from their own network to tap into. They have documentary specials, some damn good ones. FS1 has turned into a wrestling channel. I think, was it last night? Tuesday night? I think they had 3 WWE Network documentaries in a row. That actually did pretty good. In fact, I think they did higher ratings than WWE Backstage did. A first-run episode of Backstage. And I think some of their network content actually outrated Backstage. I think they did 230,000 viewers for both, for two of the documentaries back-to-back at 9 p.m. and 10 p.m. So AEW does not have that luxury. I don't know the nature of the contract. I don't know what happens if they go to TNT and said, listen, I know we just signed a contract. And I know we're obligated to provide you with 2 hours of content from 8 to 10 on Wednesdays, but we got to shut down. And we don't know how long we're going to be shut down for. That could be problematic. It could cost them their television deal. Now, if they lose their TV deal, that could be death for the company. So they're in a weird position. I don't know what happens. If they decide to go into an off season, I mean that could be fatal. It could be very lethal to the company. I don't know. And remember, AEW was supposed to get a second show. AEW was supposed to be, and we never got a date, but we were told that AEW, not only were they extending Dynamite, But as part of that new contract, there was going to be a second show, not AEW Dark, a totally new show that would air on TNT. So they would have two television shows during the week. We've heard nothing about that second TV show. Because this is the absolute worst time for them to be starting a new show. Does that mean the show is dead? Are we not getting one? So whatever their plans were for that second show are on this indefinite hold. So again, I think it's just way more problematic right now for AEW than it would be for WWE. I really do. I really believe that. Let's go to 651.
Hello, Sal Monster. It's Brandon from Florida.
Hey, Brandon.
It was a decent episode. Quick question. So, let's just say AEW has to shut down. Do you think, for TV time to fill, do you think they could do, mini documentaries on the wrestlers so, the fans can get to know them better?
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. But, again, you can't fill... I don't know that you can fill 2 hours with that every week, but could they be incorporating that into the show? Absolutely. And their video packages, more often than not, are great.
Yeah. And then another quick question. I don't know if you heard that MLB might start up again in Phoenix, so I just want your quick thoughts on that. Thank you for the phone call.
Thank you. Yeah, I heard that rumor that they're talking about potentially starting games in the next few months and maybe doing them all in Arizona. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't even know how that would work. If they literally have all of their games at this one stadium out in Arizona, just schedule-wise, how would that work? Weather-wise, I would imagine, especially when you get into the summer months, that might not be too pleasant doing shows out there. Or shows, thinking about in terms of wrestling. Doing games out there. I don't know. I don't know all the details that are being looked at, but I did hear that story. And I guess we'll have to just wait and see. But again, I look at this and I say, it's as if they look at this and they think, well, we have hot spots, right, throughout the country. I'm living in one. But I don't think they quite understand that what we're all dealing with here, it's not just isolated to one area, right? So you can pick Arizona. Maybe Arizona's numbers are not, anywhere near as high as other parts of the country. But just because it's like that now doesn't mean that it's going to be that way 3 weeks from now. I keep hearing about the way it is where I live right now. All you folks out in the Midwest, all you folks out West, get ready. Get ready. Because in the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, that's going to be you. Hey, for your sake, I hope that's not true. But let's say they go ahead and they start up this MLB season. And they get things going, and then all of a sudden, 2 weeks in, we come to find out that there's, five players who have fallen ill. That's not a good situation to be in. And then it ruins it for the rest of us, because, if it just goes back to kind of business as usual, I don't know, all these lockdowns and shit, it's just going to drag it out for the rest of us. It's just going to drag it out for everybody else. So I don't even think that's a smart move, but look, it's all about money, right? These leagues got to make money. There's billions of dollars at stake. You knew they weren't going to stay quiet for too long. Let's go to 561. I think that's Boca, if I'm not mistaken. Is this Boca?
No, it's just the Palm Beach County area code.
Well, that shows you what I know about Florida.
No, but, many cities in Palm Beach County have that particular area code.
I see.
But anyways, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing well.
I saw the episode of Dynamite tonight, and I'm probably going to be one of the few in the minority of this. And I love everything that AEW does. I've been supporting them since the rally they had in Jacksonville last year. I'm not a fan of Brody Lee. I'm sorry. There's nothing that he can do. There's nothing he can say that can get me invested into even being remotely interested. You couldn't even get me 32% at best to being interested in anything that Brody Lee does. I personally don't think he should have been the exalted one. I know, again, probably many of your listeners are going to be like, what the hell is this dude even saying? But I'm just, you know, if I could just knock anything about AEW, I feel like someone else should have been the Exalted One and not him. Hell, Jake Roberts could have been it. He got the voice for it, you know, where he just sends his minions to do everything. But I get why they have him there. You know, he's the former WWE talent that's now with AEW. And so we got to utilize him in one way. Okay, we'll put him as the Exalted One. Let's give him a chance to shine. I get that. But for me personally, I just can't get invested in watching Brody Lee. Other than that, I love the show tonight. Love the tournament match. Can't wait for to see how this tournament's going to play out. That's pretty much it. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in. So, yep. He makes a good point. I mean, not everybody is a fan of Brody Lee. And that's either just because, you know, they saw him as Luke Harper and, you know, he was never positioned as a big star, or they saw him as Luke Harper and didn't like what they saw. They didn't see anything in him. Now, we've got the chance in recent weeks to see him show off a little bit more of his personality than we got to see in WWE. I still feel like we're scratching the surface of what he can do, right? He's had a couple of squash matches. They do these vignettes on TV every week. I'm waiting to see where it's leading. I know people are saying, oh, be patient. It's going somewhere. Be patient. I'm being patient. I think it's very odd that he took over as the leader of this faction, and it's been nothing but just hating the people that work for him, you know, since the moment that he debuted. It's a very odd way. It's a very odd way of debuting the leader of a group, and we'll see where it goes. But yeah, not everybody is a Brody Lee fan. Not everybody sees Brody Lee above a certain level. That's up to him to prove those people wrong. As he begins to have more matches, more competitive matches against people like Cody or Lance Archer or Darby Allin, people like that, let's see what he can do. In the ring, we've not seen him do shit because he just debuted. He's only had squash matches. But as everybody keeps telling me, be patient, give it time. So we'll be a little more patient and see where it goes. But I'm not going to disagree with people if they don't see what the big deal is about Brody Lee. I'm just glad he's getting the chance. I'm glad he's getting the chance to show people what he can do. He's getting his chance to prove people wrong. You know what? He may not end up proving those people wrong. He may prove them right. All the guy ever wanted was an opportunity. He felt he wasn't getting that opportunity in WWE, so he left. Can't fault the guy for it. All you can give him is a chance. Whether he sinks or swims is entirely up to him. Let's go to 401. 401.
Hey, Salamon. So what's going on?
Not much. Who am I talking to?
I'm talking to, it's either Mike or Mikey. I can't believe I'm on here right now. My brother's going to go crazy.
Well, we'll go with Mikey. I like Mikey more.
Hey, how you doing? So, going through this crisis, I have no idea what everybody else in the world's going through. We're all sheltered here, trying to stay in place. They want us to stay sheltered. People that are coming in and out of our state, we have to be, sheltered for 14 days minimum. You can't do anything. Hmm. So it's crazy.
Well, where is that? Where is the, what state are you in? Hello? I think we lost him. Did we lose him? We did lose him. Oh my goodness. I'm a little worried for him now. He sounded concerned. He was talking about, we can't go anywhere. It's shelter in place. And then the line went dead. Uh-oh. That's not good. That's like something out of a movie. I hope he's okay. I hope I didn't just get him killed. Jeez. Anyway. Moving on. 213.
Good evening, Solo Monster. Oh. It's Luis from Los Angeles.
Oh my goodness. It is indeed Luis.
How's it going, brother?
It's going good, Luis. It's going good. You sound alive. You sound energetic.
Don't even ask me why I'm a little bit energetic.
I won't.
Actually, you know what? These past couple of weeks, trust me, it's gotten to me. And, oh, God, I just want this to be all over with.
Well, let me stop you there. Let me stop you there. Did you see the AEW show tonight?
Unfortunately, I did not.
I see. Well, let me ask you this. Let's stay focused here. Was there one particular question that you had for me here?
Yes.
Good.
And that was, how did you, what was the question? Oh. Why did they even book the Big Show versus Drew McIntyre in a fucking dark match for the WWE Championship? I'm like, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah. I knew it was going to be I knew. Yeah. Well, hey, look, you know what they were trying to do? They wanted to portray Drew as like the giant slayer. He had just had this exhausting 3-minute match with Brock Lesnar. And so they wanted to send the Big Show out there and show that he can beat two big giants in one night. And that was the whole idea behind doing it that way. All right, well, listen.
That's a big fat aye.
All right, well, hey, I can't disagree with you there. But listen, I'm going to move on here, but I always appreciate you calling into these streams and, of course, seeing you in the Facebook group as well.
Anytime, Solomon Monster. Awesome. Have a nice evening, and probably I'll see you next Wednesday.
I'm not sure yet. Okay.
Because I'm not sure if Boost Mobile's going to keep my cell phone up.
Why are you using Boost Mobile?
Cheapest.
Huh, that makes sense. Well, listen, I hope Boost Mobile will give you a cell signal next week. I'll be here. I'll be live here, so you know where I'll be.
Okay.
All right, you have a good night. That is Luis out from the West Coast. We always see Luis every day in the Facebook group. He is very animated. Everybody in the group knows Luis. You don't even have to say his last name. You just say Luis, and they know exactly who you're talking about. He is quite the... I feel like Luis would make a great wrestling manager. He just seems like he would be a great character on a wrestling television show. I say that as a compliment. I just don't know if he would be a heel or a face. I think he'd be a baby face, but I could see where some people might think he'd be a heel. Let's do one more. Let's go to 248. Yeah, why not? Let's go do 248.
Hi, it's me, Markel. How are you?
Good, Markel.
Who do you think the next WWE superstar is going to be on AEW if somebody leaves WWE?
Who do I think is the next WWE star to go to AEW? Oh, well, I mean, I would assume it probably would be The Revival. I mean, The Revival are on the outs with WWE. Apparently, they're not even getting paid anymore. I guess they've hit their downside. And so, yeah, I mean, I believe one of them, their contract may already be over, or it's over this month. Is it Wilder? It might be Wilder, maybe. Dash Wilder, whose deal isn't up until June. So it's going to be a few months. But my guess would be probably The Revival. You know, and then they could do something with them and the Bucks. I know they've been dying to do a match between them for the longest time. Will it still have any juice? That's my question. You know, we don't even know if this whole situation is going to be resolved by July. So it could be even longer than that. If The Revival came in September or October, this is my question I post to everybody who's still in the chat. If The Revival come into AEW in the fall, is there still any juice in a program or a feud between them and the Young Bucks? Do you care? Do you see that as being a big deal? Is that something you are looking forward to? I don't know how I feel about that. To me, it wouldn't really be that big of a deal. I just don't feel it at this point. I feel like too much time has gone by, too much time is going to go by. But for their sake, if they do leave, they're leaving a lot of money on the table. A lot of money, supposedly, being left on the table if they don't re-sign with WWE. So for their sake, I hope they know what they're doing. I hope they know what they're doing. I know Dawson, he's got a family, and I'm sure, you know, it's not an easy decision for him to make. It'd be very interesting to see what those guys end up doing. Food Hive, Thank you for the $5 super chat. See, I didn't forget about you guys. I know we got a couple super chats left over here. I'm going to shout everybody out. It says, with Heath Slater's tag team titles and Jinder and Drew being WWE champions, are 3MB, or is 3MB, a Hall of Fame stable? No, of course not. Of course not. Nobody in their right mind would call three-man band a Hall of Fame stable. Now, will Drew McIntyre go on to be a Hall of Famer? Very possible. Very possible. He's still building his credentials for a Hall of Fame induction. 3MB is not a Hall of Fame stable. Dry chicken without flavor, thank you for the $5. Once there's 30 women in AEW, I'm predicting a women's tag team division, which will lead to an AEW Women's World Tag Team titles in the future. I think that would be a bad idea. They don't have the women for it. You're saying when they get to 30. I mean, that's a big number. That's a lot of women. I don't know what the number is at now. Women's tag team titles in AEW, it just seems very unnecessary. Mr. Krabs, there he is again. Vince is going to convince lawmakers that WWE, he says, is essential. Well, Vince does have friends in high places, so I guess anything's possible. And dry chicken without flavor. I just read that one. Did you send that twice, or did that come in twice? I don't know. But in any event, thank you for the super chat. I appreciate it. Here's one final check of the Twitter polls. There's AEW. We're over 1,000 votes now. 82 up, 17 down. And NXT with over 1,200 votes in. Lower score, 75-25. So those are the current scores. You can vote at Solomonster is the place to go vote right now on Twitter. I want to thank everybody who donated tonight, everybody who didn't donate but participated in the chat. I love all you guys. I love all the discussion. And I'm going to be back here doing it all over again next Wednesday, and I hope you'll join me. Episode 647 of the podcast goes up this Sunday, as it does every Sunday. We'll be talking Dark Side of the Ring. Probably do another RSPW Rewind. I found a whole bunch of Brawl for All threads, so it's perfect timing. Try to work that into the show on Sunday. Talk about Raw, NXT, SmackDown, and any other news of the week to discuss on Sunday. So, on that note, be well, stay safe, wherever you may be in the country, wherever you may be in the world, because I need you around. Need you around to listen to the content that I'm going to be putting out for you. Might be another video inbox on the channel, too, in the next couple weeks. So get those questions in if you want to get your questions possibly answered in the YouTube inbox. And I will see you again on Sunday for episode 647 of the podcast. Until then, take care, guys. And always remember, you can use the hashtag on Twitter. Corny, I know. But I love this artwork. Always remember, you need your wrestling fix, better call Soul. I'll see you on Sunday.